Father, we ask this morning that you grant unto us insight in your word. Thank you for the blessing of your spirit that gives us revelation. We receive insight, much more wisdom and application as we behold Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, as he sees us in him. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Praise God. Alright. It says, and from a child that was known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Because of faith in Christ Jesus. And that's what the Bible is about. Faith in Christ. Look at the word wise. We studied that before. That made thee wise is from the word Sophia. Sophia is where you have wisdom. But this word is sophizo, that is a skill or a wisdom that is a skill. A way you go about things. A wisdom is used for experts, artists, teachers. Sophizo. S-O-P-H-I-Z-O. It makes you skillful when you have known, that is, knowing faith in Christ is actually skillfulness in the Bible. And there are many Christians who are not skillful with their Bible. Skillful means that you know your way around it. Skillful means you know how to explain it. Skillful means you can give answers from there that are already answered in there. It says all scripture. And the 17 says that the man of God may be perfect. That word perfect is where you have adequate. So I say adequate. That's the word artios, A-R-T-I-O-S. The Bible makes you adequate. Say the scriptures and the knowledge of it makes me adequate. So the scriptures make you adequate. That means also the word artios means you're ready or prepared. It's used for, in the olden days, it's used for special training. For example, you know, the Nigerian army, they had some folks come to teach them anti-terrorism. That's a special training. Anti-terrorism. And they came to give them a special, so they became ready. I watched a slight presentation about the United States Naval SEAL. You know the SEAL? My God. I like watching things like that. You know, I like human intelligence a lot. And I saw the way they were trained. How they can enter a nation and nobody's gonna see them. You know, great stuff like that. But that's how you prepare. So when it comes to scriptures, so it's not the same way you know physics or you know law or you know sciences or the arts. There's a skill to it, and that skill is seen in faith in Christ. Now notice something. Notice it says salvation through faith that is in Christ. In other words, the skillfulness is in your ability to see, to teach from, and to understand the in Christ realities of the scriptures. The in Christ realities of the scriptures. As we've always said, the Bible is not about Abraham. The Bible is not about Isaac or Jacob. The Bible is about one person. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that person is Jesus. So, the skill you need for ministry is not oratory. To know how to speak good English. Even though speaking good English will make you reach some audiences. It's not good dressing. Some folks think that being a man of God is the kind of suit that you wear. And some of the things is about, you know, stagecraft. You know stagecraft? How do you get on the pulpit? How do you walk to the pulpit? How do you stand before the pulpit? You know, a friend of mine who went to a school, ministry school like that. He said, by the time he was on the third day, he was imagining, well, how did I get here? Then they were teaching him how to dress, how to put peppermint in your bag. He said, throughout, there was no study of the scriptures. In fact, at the end of the day, he said, he found out that what they taught them was how to manipulate people. It was not about the word. So Paul is saying, no, what you require in ministry, the wisdom is the skill of the scriptures. To be able to see Christ in the scriptures. Jesus himself, quickly look at this, we've seen this before. He taught using Genesis to Malachi. Genesis to Malachi. He kept quoting from there. He kept teaching from there. In Matthew 19:6, where he spoke about marriage, he spoke from Genesis. Quote from Genesis chapter 2 verse 24. In John 8:56, when he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day in his sight, he was referring to Genesis 22. Jesus taught from the Psalms. He taught from Isaiah. He taught from Jeremiah. Praise God. Even John the Baptist also. He spoke from Malachi 3:1, Isaiah 43. So, everyone was speaking from the Scriptures. The Scriptures make you adequate. Jesus did not talk from his head. He didn't talk from the news. He spoke and taught and explained truths from Genesis to Malachi. Jesus quoted Jonah. Matthew 12:14. He quoted Jonah. He quoted the prophets. In Luke 24:25-27. The Bible says, O fools, slow about to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? I'm beginning from Moses and all the prophets. He expounded them in all the scriptures. Verse 27, Luke 24. The things concerning himself. So the scriptures are enough. What did I say? Say it one more time. The scriptures are enough. You know, some people find it boring if you teach only from the Bible. Either those folks are not born again, or they are very carnal Christians. The scriptures should not bore a believer. The scriptures should excite, as it were, inspire, inform, and refresh the heart of a Christian. Hallelujah. If you find yourself reading, I almost said Mills and Booth, that's expired now. Mills and Booth is Old Testament, I think. What are the new ones? You don't want to tell me? I tell you, Amazon! You know, Telemundo. Is that a book or a book? You don't want to tell me again? Be truthful now. Confess your faults one to another. Praise God. You know, they find it easy. They'll be there, like watching movie. And they'll go, one, series two, series three, on the same, they'll sit down there. When I was younger, my dad brought a movie, North and South. Have you seen that movie before? I think it was Patrick Swayze. North and South, 24. That is 24 sessions. And my family sat down and we watched it over a weekend. I mean everything. We were eating there. So if I could do that for a movie. I can't even remember what was there. I just know there was a slave trade or something. A lot of romantic scenes. My father will now call it. What did you learn? Will not be lying. Patience. Doggedness. Industry. Commitment. Is that true? How to kiss? So I think we're reading there. Or watching there. You see, watch one, woman of substance. Hold the dream. Shall we tell the president? Or the president's daughter or something like that. You know that one? Woman of substance? So what did you learn? By the time I finished, I was sighing him. I said, the courage. The ability to see tomorrow. If you can, do I need to watch a movie to see that? Who for the joy set before him? Endured the shame. That's enough to learn. Hallelujah. God became a man. That's where to learn humility from. Not somebody who after his humility is going to hell. Whose works are for his righteousness. Our own works are from his righteousness. Hallelujah. So if I can spend hours on movies, and if I can, we can spend hours on watching game. I didn't mention any club. I just said game. It's a Mousterian. Anyone who can spend 90 minutes to watch a Man U game should be able to study the Bible without much problem. Because the mind you game requires of these days consistency. Amen. But jokes apart, we should never find the Bible boring. The words are life. Hallelujah. You know, when you understand the study of scriptures, the words come live to you. Praise God. They come live. When I required healing 24 years ago, the Psalm 107 verse 20 became life to me. He sent his word and he healed them. It was no longer a song that dumb men sang. I became healed of an incurable disease. Hallelujah. Just like the gifts of the Spirit. When you read it, you say, wow, this is my life. Glory to God. So Jesus expounded to them the things concerning himself, his sufferings and his glory. Now quickly, let's look at this. Why do we have the four Gospels? You know, we have found out that the four Gospels were written after the epistles. I don't know whether those kind of facts, do they help you in studying? Who can tell me? What does it do to you? That kind of a detail. What does it do to you? Who can tell me? What does that do to you? To know such details that you mean the church at Ephesus did not have the four Gospels. Say, it's personal. This one is a rhema. What does it do to you? Yeah, you won't tell me. Yes. It helps us know that the early church or the church then fed on the epistles, so we should feed on the same thing. Is that not true? Not on the four Gospels. Because there was no four Gospels when Paul founded those churches. Hallelujah. Now, that means their knowledge of Jesus was not from the human point of view. Now, quickly look at this. Look at Luke's Gospel chapter 1. I'm going to show you a couple of things. Luke's Gospel chapter 1. Amen. Amen. Luke will give us an idea of how the four Gospels were put together. And, you know, somebody was telling me, well, Luke will say 4 o'clock. Matthew will say 3 o'clock. John will say 2 o'clock. I said, but there was an o'clock in everything. The most important thing was they talked about the same person and none of them denied his death, burial, and resurrection. Imagine if you took that away from the four Gospels, they just become a gist book. Is that not true? They become gist. They just become historical. It has no application to you. Look at Luke's Gospel 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed amongst us. Look at that. That word declaration is the word diegesis. It means a narration. D-I-E-G-E-S-I-S. A narration. Now, the word narration is used by those who see things or journalists. So Luke is telling you, he's using a journalistic term to speak about his account. Notice what he says. He says, verse 1 again. As many have taken in hand, that is, if attempted, that's what taken in hand, attempted to set forth in order a narration. A narration of what? Of those things which are most assuredly believed amongst us. That means until this point, the things Luke is writing about were just things everybody knew. Like an historical fact about Jesus. He said, but now, there's now an attempt to put it in proper narration. That is step by step what happened in 33 and a half years when the Word became flesh. He said, there's a narration. So, first and foremost, the four Gospels are a narration. Did you hear me? They are what? A narration. You can never expect to get perfect things there. Because they are narrative. That's why you discover that some of them focus on things others did not. Amongst the four. Because they were narrative. They are not revelation. They are narrations of things that they saw. Now, pay attention to this. This is very vital. He says, for as many, not the word many, that means many people had this account. Many. Many people. The word polo in the Greek. Many of them had this account. To do what? Verse 2. Even as they delivered them unto us. So whatever Luke was writing is first hand or second hand. Huh? Because he wasn't present. So there were things believed among the church about Jesus because there were eyewitnesses. There were 12 people who were present when those things happened amongst others. But Jesus commissioned 12 of that 11, if you add Matthias makes it 12, he commissioned them to give that narration. So he says, now watch this, he says, they have believed amongst us. Verse 2, for even as they delivered them unto us, okay, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses or and ministers of the word. They were to deliver. Is the word paradidomi. P-A-R-A-D-I-D-O-M-I. P-A-R-A-D-I-D-O-M-I. It already tells you a third party information. So Luke was never present when those things happened. He was told. By who? Watch this. From the beginning were eyewitnesses. What were they? Huh? Eyewitnesses. Now let me ask you. Who would have been eyewitness when the angel spoke to Mary? That means Mary gave her own account. Are you following what I'm saying? So whatever you read in the four Gospels was not by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit granted them the permission to write those things, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit speaking. It was men giving the narratives of what happened. Is somebody listening to this? Now, follow this. He says, eyewitness. The word eyewitness is autoptis in the Greek. It means your own eyes. It wasn't that you heard it or you read it. That means you saw it yourself. So wherever Luke was getting this from, it must have been from people who were present. Let me ask you, how many of you know that if four of us were present at an event, we'll report things differently? Not that we'll lie. You get it? There'll be where you see something. That's why you find out that Matthew will take into account something Luke will not. Or better still, John didn't. So they were eyewitnesses. Now, those eyewitnesses were not just bystanders. What were they? Ministers of who? Huh? So, who could these people be? Is disciples, is apostles. So, Luke's account must have come from who? Huh? The apostles. Luke's account. Or, from someone who got it from the apostles. Ministers of the word. Verse 3. Are you following this? Are you following this? It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most Theophilus. The word perfect understanding then means perfect investigation. It's a word, I'll spell it for you. P-A-R-A-K-O-L-O-U-T-H-E-O. P-A-R-A-K-O-L-O-U-T-H-E-O. It means to follow through. I'll give you where you can find that. 1 Timothy 4:6. 2 Timothy 3:10. 1 Timothy 4:6. 2 Timothy 3:10. It means to investigate and follow through. So, that means Luke took his time to investigate those accounts. For example, if he asks from Peter, he will ensure he verified it from who? From John. So he followed through. And don't forget, he's writing to someone who is an intelligent person, an intellectual. He said, I'm writing to you, most excellent Theophilus. That word excellent is used for those who are intellectually sound. So Theophilus was also a Christian, but he's writing to Theophilus to confirm the things Theophilus had heard before about the life of Jesus on earth. Hallelujah. To confirm. Verse 4, that thou mayest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So was Theophilus a Christian? Was he a Christian? He was born again. That you will know the things that you've already believed of a certainty. That was certainty there is secure. For something to be secure. It's all is most of the times used for those who are in prison. Security. Acts 5:23. And 1 Thessalonians 5:3. Security. In other words, why do we have the four gospels? It is to give us, okay, the order of events. Christ came to this world, okay, to die for our sins. So it sets forth that order for us. Imagine if we move from Malachi to Acts of the Apostles. You know, you wonder, what are we talking about? Now, in the early church, they had, pay attention to this, they had the privilege of people giving them eyewitness account. We wouldn't have that, so we had to have it written down to put order into the things that we have learned or are learning. But you see, they are not to give us revelation. No. They are not. They are not. They are eyewitnesses of the things they heard and saw. So, what you have in Matthew to John are eyewitness account narratives. But the book of Acts, or technically the book of Romans, you have the Spirit's account. Because it deals with the post-resurrection truths about Jesus. So, the accounts, Acts 2, of the apostles, were eyewitnesses. People were present when those things happened. Acts 2:22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. Amongst who? Amongst them. That means whatever he is saying, they knew about it. Jesus worked miracles and they all saw it. Watch this. He says, which God did by him in the midst of who? You. Acts 2:22. And you yourselves also what? No. So there are historical facts. Everybody saw it. He repeated the same thing in Acts 2:32. We are witnesses. Now in this case, he said we are witnesses this time around of his resurrection. He didn't say you know. Because they didn't see him. The apostles saw him. Of his resurrection. Acts 2:32. Acts 3:15. He said, you killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. So, whenever he talks about the resurrection, he says, we are witnesses. Whenever he talks about his earthly life, he says, you are all aware. Why? Because his resurrection was revealed to his chosen men. To his chosen men. In other words, God wants his resurrection to be communicated to us by revelation. He wants his resurrection of Jesus, to be communicated to us by revelation. Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which was confirmed unto us by them who heard him? Unto us. That's talking about the four gospels. Hebrews 2:3. Look at John's intro. John's intro. John 20:31. John 20:31. See how John summarizes why he wrote his own account. John 20:31. But these are written that you might believe that, let's start from 30. Let's go. John 20:30. Are you there? Well, let's go. In the presence of who? Which are not written where? In this book. 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Is he writing this one to the church? Huh? Talk to me. Now, Luke, was Luke writing to a Christian? Huh? Yes, he was. Was John writing this for believers? No. Because he says that you might believe. But look at 1 John. 1 John was written historically, said either the same week or the same month. Some have argued it's not the same month, same year, whatever. 1 John 2:1. These things have I written on you, my little children, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 John 2:12. I write unto you, little children. Why? Huh? Your sins are forgiven. Unto you, fathers, because you've known him. Young men, you've overcome the wicked one. Little children, because you've known the Father. Verse 14, written to your fathers, because you know him there from the beginning. Written unto you, young men, because you're strong and the word of God abides in you and you've overcome the wicked one. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you what? You have eternal life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So have you seen what the books were for? The books, the epistles are to tell us what Christ has done for us. What we have today. What we have believed upon. Whereas the four gospels are written so that you might believe. So that means the food of the faith of the believer is the finished work of redemption. What is required for spiritual growth is not the four gospels. Are you listening to me? Should I take that one more time? What is required for spiritual growth is not in the four gospels. What is required for spiritual growth is in the epistles. The four gospels are written to believe. Whereas the epistles are written to those who have already believed. Look at Jesus' commentary. Again. Matthew 13, 17. Quickly see that later. You can check that. Luke 10, 23, 24. Then look at John 16 one more time. John 16:12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all of truth. What is this supposed to be? Huh? Upon his resurrection, which refers to the post-resurrection teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus himself puts preeminence on the epistles. You cannot build a doctrine outside the epistles. You can find references from the Old Testament and references from the four gospels, but you must take your teaching, your explanation from the epistles. The epistles are spiritual food, right, for spiritual growth. Let me take that one more time. The epistles are spiritual food for spiritual growth. So go to John 14. So we interpret the four gospels from the epistles. John 14. Verse 12. Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Praise God. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That we've said this. It is whatever you shall ask, call in my name. Can I pray and don't mention the name of Jesus? Huh? Would that be right? Would that be correct? If I pray and I don't say, in Jesus' name we pray. Is that what Jesus was saying here? Huh? When I say in the name of Jesus, Who needs that mention? God or myself? Why? To remind me of where I am today. Because already I am in the name of Jesus. Praise God. I thought we had started that already. Are we in the name of Jesus? Right now we are. So look at James 1. What are the epistles for? How should I study the epistles? Never study the epistles like history. James gives us an idea. James 1. James and Paul used the same kind of illustration. James 1. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, he started from 18. He said, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, verse 19, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrong. For the wrath of man does not walk the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of nothingness, verse 21, and receive with meekness what? The engrafted word, which is able to save the soul. What engrafted means implanted. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now that word, deceiving your own selves, when you hear the word and do it, is a word paralogizomai. Paralogizomai means to act beside yourself. For example, if you are a man and you're acting like a woman, dressing like a woman, that's a paralogizomai. That means you are acting beside yourself. Now pay attention. James is not talking about obedience or disobedience. He's saying when you don't act on the word, you are not being yourself. So when we act on the word, we are being ourselves. In other words, there is a relationship between you and what you are reading. Are you following what I'm saying? When you don't act on the word, you are not being yourself. Oh, let me be myself. I want to be myself. You think what that means is that I want to express some flesh. No, that is actually paralogizomai. He says, be ye doers and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now look at the illustration he gives. He said, if any being heard of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding what? Beholding what? His natural face. Where? In a mirror. Now notice he says like. So it's an illustration. It's a figure of speech. Now that word like is the word echo. James used it in verse 6. When he says, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Like. That means when you look at it, it resembles this. When you look at the wave of the sea, that is the action of someone who doubts the word. A double-minded man. So James is saying that when you look at the word, what are you looking at? A mirror. Yourself. Now, do you notice that he's not talking about the scriptures? He says, if any be a hearer and not a doer. Now, who were the people hearing? Who were they listening to? The apostles. And what were the apostles teaching? The apostles were teaching what the Holy Spirit revealed that happened to Jesus. Are you following what I'm saying? So he's saying, if you hear that and you act otherwise, you are not acting as who you are. You are acting beside yourself. A hearer, not a reader, and not a doer. That's why the next thing he says, whoso looks into the perfect law. Now, that word natural face in the originals means, it means your face as of birth, the way you were born. that which is natural to you. The way you were born. Natural face. In a mirror. Praise God. How many of you use mirrors? I assume everybody should. Everything? Use mirrors. Well, I was in boarding house and he used mirrors. You appeared anyhow. You get it? But you use mirrors. I know some of us, we have like 4 mirrors in our room. Praise God. Even when you are sleeping, you want to see yourself in the mirror. How you sleep? Some guys are so crazy about taking selfies. They take everything. Take me, take me, take me. I'm sleeping. Take me, take me. You know, psychologists have said that there's a psychological problem with taking selfies. I don't know how true that is, but that's what they said. Now, when you use mirrors, what do you see? You don't use a mirror to see someone else. For example, if I ask you, how do I look? Say, let's go and see the mirror. And you say, then I'm right there, and you're looking at the mirror. You look good. I think you have a psychological problem. A mirror reflects me. Praise God. Now, if James can call the message of the apostles a mirror, that means their message was focused on what Christ has done for us and who we are in Him. Now, that's not the Old Testament. He says, the perfect law of liberty, which in the, that's verse 25, which actually properly said should be the law of perfect liberty. That was, there is freedom. Is there any freedom in the law? The law of Moses? Is there freedom in the law of Moses? Nope. So this has to be the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So, the epistles are a mirror. What did I say? The mirror of who? The mirror of who we are. So, how do I study the epistles? I look at it like a mirror. It reflects me back to myself. The law of perfect freedom. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:16. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the epistles are the mirror of the believer. I look at the epistles. I look for me. Who I am. In Christ. Now, what does the Holy Spirit reveal? The Holy Spirit reveals the post-resurrection facts about Jesus. When I look at those facts are what to me? A mirror. That means what happened to Jesus is a mirror of my life. Where Jesus is today is a mirror of my life. Hallelujah. Still out there? What's this? 2 Corinthians 3. Nevertheless, verse 16, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is what? What did we read the other time? The law of perfect what? Liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. Now, is this talking about a gathering or the Scriptures? Huh? Look at it. It says the veil shall be what? Taken away. That means the veil over the Old Testament shall be what? Taken away. Jesus took away the veil with his disciples and they saw him. He says, ought not the Christ who have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So he took away the veil and they said, oh, so those scriptures were talking about you. Now, Jesus says, you know what? Just hold on. The Spirit of truth is come. And then he will guide you into all of the truth. So wait. Now, today, that veil is taken away by the Spirit of truth. By the Spirit of the Lord. Look at 18. 18 says, we are with open face. Behold as in a glass the glory of God or the Lord. And I change into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. So, we look in the mirror, and what do we see? What do we see? the glory of God. Is that what he says? Huh? Now, we look in the mirror, and then you see the glory of God. Who is the glory of God? Who has the glory of God? You have the glory of God. Because the mirror reflects you. So the new covenant, or better still, the epistles, reveal the believer. They reveal who you are. The epistles are written to you for you to know who you are. For you to know what you have. For you to know what you can do. The epistles are not historical documents. The epistles are present tense facts. Hallelujah. What is happening now to you? What you have now? And what you can do now. They are not just letters. The appeals are discoveries of the scriptures that show us who we are and what we have. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The appeals are, now watch this. The epistles are a book of identification. Identification. I look at it, and I see who I am. So every time I feed on the epistles, it shall give me a sense of identity. Praise God. Hallelujah. And when I pray, and I pray from the epistles, I pray from identification. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, He has blessed us, for example, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So I begin to look at it. So the person I see is a mirror. How does that reflect back to me? I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's a mirror. Then he says, who has chosen us, alright, to be holy and blameless before Him in love. So it's a mirror. It's a mirror. So I say, I am what? Chosen. Alright. And what else? Before the foundation of the world. I am holy. Don't say, I will be holy. That's no longer what you saw. I am holy and blameless before Him in love. Now, if I read that scripture, pay attention, and I say, create in me a new heart, oh Lord, what have I done? I'm deceiving myself. Praise God. Who's following what I'm saying here? I say, I am holy and blameless. Lord, prepare me a sanctuary. I'm what? Deceiving myself. Because that is not who I am. Now, verse 5 says, who has predestined us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ. So what am I? I am a son. So when I say, there is no higher calling, no greater honor than to bow and kneel before your throne, I am deceiving myself. Because the highest calling is to be a son. Hallelujah. So I'm deceiving myself. Verse 6, who has accepted us in the beloved. So, I am what? I am what? Praise God. 7 says, He has forgiven us according to the riches of His grace. So, if I stand here and I say, Father, I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the blood that was shed on Calvary, that was shed in Golgotha, I ask you, Father, you don't look at the mercy. Oh, Lord, mercy. Oh, forgive me. What am I doing? I am deceiving myself. Because that's not what is in the mirror. Ephesians 1:7. That's not what is in the mirror. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Turn down power. Holy Ghost power. Turn down power again. And I say Ephesians 3:20. Unto him that is able to do exceeding. Now, I'm not reading it to preach it. I'm reading it to see something. To see myself. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. For whatever we ask or imagine. According to the power that works in me. Praise God. So what am I supposed to go away from? With? The power is at work in me. If I ask for power, what am I doing? I'm deceiving myself. Praise God. Amen. I'm deceiving myself. So, the epistles, they reflect us to us. When we act otherwise, if I go after Elijah, and say, Lord, make me like David. Make me like David. What am I doing? That one is worse than deceiving yourselves. That's humiliating yourself. Hallelujah. See, I don't deceive myself. I look at myself in the mirror, and I act on what I see. I'm what he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. That means sometimes our experiences can differ from what is in the mirror. Our feelings can be, you know, just sometimes you feel like you're not a Christian. You want to lie? You like you're not a Christian. You just don't feel like it. Hallelujah. Or somewhere someone was praying and said, if you want the favor of God, put your hand on your head. I didn't do it. Therefore, look at me. If I do it, I'm deceiving myself. Praise God. Because the Bible says, God is pleased with me. That's what the Bible says. Now, I may not feel it. I may not have it in my emotions. But I'm walking by faith. Praise God. And I declare I'm what he says I am. As long as I keep doing that, my feelings will line up with the word. Praise God. Sometimes, why you feel the way you feel is because you are not feeding on the word sufficiently enough. If, for example, Jesus is coming soon. If that still gets you to be shaking, you are not just deceiving yourself. You are in the deception. Whenever Jesus comes, doesn't make any difference. Hallelujah. It's not an exam. And whenever you hear, they release the exam timetable, exam date, and the student is saying, hey! You look towards student union. What up, you guys? Do something now. Fight over 5 naira. Let them close the school. You get it? And that's how some of us think the rapture is. Jesus is coming soon. Eh? When? This afternoon, no? This afternoon? But why so soon? The word of God is our mirror. Praise God. So, if I see it and I act otherwise, I deceive myself. Something that makes me come into your presence. You are deceiving yourself. Because Jesus said the helper will abide in you forever. And the Bible says you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you are deceiving yourself. Praise God. 8 ways to get uncommon grace for uncommon favor. You are deceiving yourself. And somebody is deceiving you too. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of your own self. Not of works. is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus, John said, he says, of his fullness have we all received grace matching grace. Praise the Lord. I've got the grace of God. Hallelujah. So don't deceive yourself. Tell your neighbor, say, don't deceive yourself. Look at the mirror well. And don't forget who he says you are. Praise the Lord. John 14. John 14. When someone is a new convert, he just accepts Christ, we should let him stay in the epistles. The first thing about a new convert, you should not learn church meeting days. We meet on Mondays. Eh? On Wednesdays. We also pray on Friday. Does he even know how to pray? He said, and then on Sunday too. You have to come because you see, this salvation is a long road. Be careful because this thing is not easy. Like, I know you have confessed though. I've been saying you have believed though. But you see, there are other things. So I've been there for long. You know, so you can't just come in and be taking all the things that belong to us like that. Some of us think like me. You see someone who you feel is not so committed, and the person is blessed. What's going on? Is the devil deceiving him so that eventually he will go to hell? Something is wrong with you. John's Gospel 14. Praise God. So the epistles are a mirror, right? We look at it. We look for the word in Christ, right? In Christ. Imagine if you do this today. You look out for the words in Christ, by Him, in whom. And you mark them out. And then you put your name there. And then you say that often and often and often. You cannot have low self-esteem. Low self-esteem. How do you want to have low self-esteem? Imagine if you feed on those truths. And you read as He is, so am I in this world. And you read that so often. And then you say you have low self-esteem. What does that mean? Which esteem? When you come into these realities, you break away from your background. You break away from whatever family roots you had that made you think in a particular way. Praise the Lord. John 14. Verse 12. Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do. And greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Was he talking about his present disciples or as many that believe? We saw that before. Now notice the word, the works that I do. That word, ergon, E-R-G-O-N. Now pay very good attention. The works that I do is used for products or employment. That is, Jesus is saying the lifestyle of this person will be similar to mine. He's not just talking about certain experiences. He's talking about a way of living. I'll take that one more time. He's not talking about experiences here. He's talking about a way of living. Shall he do? Because I go to my Father. Now, please listen to this very well. There are three accounts you will read when Jesus gave, where the apostles of Jesus worked miracles. Three accounts. There was one where in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, the Bible says he sent out his disciples and then he gave them power. Listen very well to this explanation. If you have been trying to struggle, let that struggle cease now. This is very vital now. Look at Matthew 10. Luke's Gospel 9, Mark 6, verse 7 and 8. He gave his disciples power. Where you can call authority or privilege. He gave them power, and then they went out, and then they walked miracles. You will see that word, he gave them. Luke 9, Matthew 9. So, he gave them power, which some people have interpreted to mean the power of attorney. To use something in your place. So what could be different in what he's saying now? Because obviously whatever he's saying now is different from what is in Matthew's Gospel 10. Luke's Gospel 9. To give them power. He says, the works I do shall he do. And greater works. Because I go to my Father. John's Gospel 14. It says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, is he talking about mentioning his name? No. In my place. That is, he says, where I am, we read that earlier, there you may be also. So we need to follow through what he's talking about. He says, the works I do, the same thing he will do, and greater works than this because I go to my Father. If you ask anything in my name, verse 14, I'll do it. If you love me, keep my words or keep my commandments or instructions. And I'll pray the Father and he'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you for a long, forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be where? In you. Please listen to this. Shall be where? In you. How live you comfortless? I'll come to you. Yea, little while you shall see me. No more the world shall see, but you shall see me because I leave. You will leave also. At that day you shall know I am in the Father and you in me and I in you. So Jesus is talking about in. Mark that word. In. So the works will be present where? In you. This is not just talking about experiences. It's referring to natural abilities. Not just the experiences that the disciples had said, oh Lord, even the demons are subject to us through your name. Through your name. Now he's saying to you that where I am, you will be also. So, Jesus isn't talking about the power of attorney. He's talking about abilities. That's why I use the word greater. Come on, say greater. Come on, one more time. Say greater. Greater will mean whatever he's saying here is more than what had happened before. So, he's not talking about experiences. He's referring to abilities. So, how do we know? Now, we realize that Jesus is teaching post-resurrection facts. Are we right? So, what are these greater things he's talking about? What? Is he talking about the healing of the sick? If that was it, his disciples healed the sick. What's he talking about? Casting out of devils? They cast out devils too. Before now. So whatever he must be discussing has to be greater. Now, let's now follow through the things he said upon the resurrection. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Now, Matthew 28 was when he rose from the dead. Praise the Lord. All authority, verse 18, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Was this because he rose from the dead or because he is God? Huh? Because he rose from the dead. Thank you. So, that means whatever he's saying here, he has gone to the Father. Right? Come on. Alright. So he says, go ye therefore. Now, what does therefore mean? Because of this. Now, if we put together the things he was saying, that means we are where he is. Right? Right? Okay. Go ye therefore and do what? Make disciples. Before now, were they making disciples? Make disciples of every nation. That would make disciples 4 times is used. It means to train people. Matheteo in the Greek. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. You see in Acts 14:21. Acts 14:21 too. Acts 14:21. Matthew 13:52. And Matthew 27:52. Matthew 13:52. Matthew 27:52. Acts 14:21. It means to train. To train. To train people. Where is disciples doing that before now? Just going therefore and make disciples of every nation. What else? Look at Mark's Gospel 16:15. Go ye therefore. Now, another word therefore again. Go ye into all the world, Mark 16. Why did he say that? Because they had just discussed his resurrection. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be what? Saved. Now, did anyone in the 4 Gospels get saved through his disciples? People were getting healed. Demons were being cast out. But no one ever got saved through them. Matthew's Gospel 16. Luke 24:47. Learning something? And repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Who will do this preaching? Jesus or the believers? Thank you. One more. Look at John 20. There's a tricky verse in John 20. But don't worry, next week I'll explain it. John 20. In verse 22, he says, receive ye the Spirit of God, of the Holy Ghost. That's an instruction, right? Huh? Whosoever sins you remit, verse 23, they are what? Remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Isn't that powerful? Are you there? Not so difficult to understand anyway. Because we're talking about the same thing. So Jesus gives them a kind of authority they never had before. So, was there a message of the gospel in the 4 Gospels? Yes, there was. But the message that they had in the 4 Gospels is the message of Jesus' incarnation and the anointing on his life. Look at Acts 10. Verse Verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word, I say you know, which was published through all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. What was that message? Verse 38. What was it? Huh? How God did what? Anoint Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So they were going around Judea preaching this. Alright? That was the gospel they were preaching. But look at the next verse. He says, and we are witness of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews, in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on the tree. Him God raised up the third day, and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Let's take 42 together. And he commanded us to preach unto the people. Watch this. Notice this. Now, are they preached before? What did they preach before? How God? Now, he has now commanded us to what? Preach unto the people. Our God and not just Nazareth? Nope. And to testify, it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness. Hallelujah. That through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So, we have seen there were two different gospels of the same person. The first one was how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, which they went around preaching. The second one is what? He had been raised from the dead. And through him, forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. So, the man who takes this message is offering to people forgiveness of sins. That's why Jesus said, whatever sins you retain, I retain. Whatever sins that you remit, I remit. We're going to see what that means. You know, it's a figure of speech. So in the resurrection, there's a different message. In other words, God has committed the salvation of lives to you. People will not be saved without us. Without the church, no one will be saved. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No one. He has committed the salvation of lives to our hands. He said, greater than this shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, you are not saving them. But your message, your preaching, your deeds by preaching and teaching is what saves men. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Look at this. In Acts of the Apostles, what was the first thing that they did? Are you aware of the first thing the church did? When the Holy Spirit was given, the first thing they did wasn't to heal the sick. The first thing they did wasn't to raise the dead. The first thing they did was to have men receive the gift of forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Look at Acts of the Apostles chapter 2. Say, I do greater works. I preach the gospel. I save lives. Oh, come on, say, I save lives. So when you preach to that fellow, you have saved him. You need to know that in this world, we are saviors. I'll share on that more next week. We are saviors. We're not just messengers. We are actually saviors. Because the message he gave us is not just now. Now, when you get born again, it's no longer a testimony of Jesus alone. It is now our testimony. That message is our message. Oh. I wish your mind should come alive now. That message is our message. Praise God. Praise God. Paul, he said something to Festus. He said, I would that you be as I am, without chains. Praise God. He said, you are getting mad, Paul. Too much learning has made you mad. Praise God. Do you get it? That message is our message. Thanks be unto God. Greater works shall you do. Look at Acts 2. The very first thing they did. They asked Peter, verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? Praise God. That's what he sent us to do. Men will ask you questions about their eternity. He has given you the license to determine the eternities of men. He said, men and brethren, what shall I say? Believe! Or repent, better still, and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Look at verse 41. Let's take verse 41 together. Then they that had gladly received whose word? Whose word? Whose word? Peter. They were baptized. Same day, they were added unto them about 3,000. Hallelujah. You have a message now. Praise God. You have a message that saves lives. You have a message that saves lives. Jesus is not on earth saving anyone. We are the ones now responsible. Praise God. Did you hear what I just said? We are the ones now responsible now. Glory to God. It's our work. Someone say it's our work. Say the salvation of my nation is my responsibility. Is that dawning on you? Is that dawning on you? The salvation of my nation, of sinners around me, is my responsibility. Praise the Lord. Let's hear what Paul said. Now I'm going to close it.
1 Corinthians 9. If you know who you are, if you know the kind of person you are, you will take things more seriously. You take things more seriously. 1 Corinthians 9. Paul, in verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily, when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain will the more. When you start to know that your actions, your deeds determine the lives of men, you will take yourself more seriously. Look at this. For unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. Praise the Lord. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. Under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. You know, he's talking like Jesus. Hallelujah. He's identifying with men of different classes. He's talking like Jesus. Praise God. Look at this. I made all things to all men, that I by my all means save some. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We're just like Jesus. We're just like Jesus. We'll do just everything for men to be saved. Because we know that their salvation is determined by us. Let me say that again so it will ring into your ears. Why will Paul say, I'm free from the blood of all men? That means the lives of men were committed to him. Why would he say that? He said, I have my saved son. That means all things to all men. That means I make myself available. As Jesus is, so am I. Hallelujah. I said, as Jesus is, so am I. So I'm not just a messenger. Hallelujah. My life carries the message. My deeds carry the message. So I become all things to all men. Remember, Paul says, how can they call on whom they have not believed? So how can they believe on whom they have not heard? He said, how can they hear without a preacher? Hallelujah. How can they hear without you? How can they hear without you? The salvation of this world is not in the hands of Jesus. It's in the hands of His church. Till all authority is given me in heaven and earth because of this. Go ye therefore and disciple the nations. Make them your students. Make them learn from you. We have become the school of the world. We have become the school of Christ. We have become the school of the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. So the works I do, He will do. And greater works. Salvation of lives is committed to you. So whosoever sins do you remit, they are remitted unto them. The ones that are retained, which means those who do not believe. There's nothing I'm going to do about it. That's what God is saying. If you tell them and they don't believe you, they can't be saved. What responsibility? What authority do we have? What much license has He given to us? Evangelism is not an activity. Evangelism is a lifestyle. So the works I do, He will do. It's our work. So evangelism is my work. It's my lifestyle. It's my habit. Say it's my habit. Say winning souls is my habit. I'm in this world to save lives. I save lives. Oh, come on now. I save lives. Let me show you this real close. 2 Corinthians 2. Say, I save lives. So when you preach to someone, what have you done? You have saved him. I'll show you more next week. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Glory to God. Now thanks be unto God. Verse 14. Which always causes us to triumph in Christ. And makes manifest the savor of His knowledge. How? By who? In every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. In them that are saved. Hallelujah. We are the savor. In them that are saved. In them that are perished. He said to them, we are the savor of death unto death. To the other, we are the savor of life unto life. Hallelujah. Let this dawn on you. You carry life all through Lagos, all through Nigeria. The life that men need to have. Never to perish again. You carry it everywhere you go.
If we declare this year a year for greater works, that means you should save lives. Are you hearing what I'm saying? To save lives. To save lives. You determine whether men are saved or not. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You. Hallelujah. So when you tell someone, he has believed. Jesus said he has. Praise the Lord. Till you make disciples. So whosoever we say is saved, he's saved. That's why a man can write, if you will believe, you are saved. Why is he talking? Is it God? No. He is in Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I wish I can say more about this till next week. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands to heaven. Bless the Lord. I have a message. I have a message. To save nations. To save lives. To prevent them from destruction. I do greater works. I do greater works. In the name of Jesus. Put your hands in worship.